We are back recording, but we have 1 minute before 9 o'clock before we can start the informal hearing.
Okay. Let's just wait 1 minute. Unless there's one of those that, or B that we can.
I don't see anything that you can do in 30 seconds.
Hey, Karen, this is Mark. On the formal interview letter that I have for Mr. Easley, it says 10 a.m. Is there another one?
Yes, there was another one sent because the 10 a.m. one was for the August meeting. He wasn't present, so we tabled it and moved it to the September meeting where he was re-noticed.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm going to take a gamble here and see if we can't handle 4B4, case number 19-60, Melody Asundani.
Ms. Richardson, would you give an overview, please?
Yep. Good morning. Ms. Asadani's case number 1960 was opened after the investigation of case 1916, Carl Malmquist. It's alleged that Ms. Asadani was practicing as a physical therapist without an Arizona license. I did receive information that she was planning to attend this meeting. I don't know if she's currently on the line.
Ms. Asadani, are you a present?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
This case is for your review.
Okay, so this is an initial review, and Ms. Asundani, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Melody Asundani, and I don't have anything different or new to add from what was conveyed in my written response and my interview with Ms. Mindy Richardson. The complaint just not true, and I am hoping that the board, respected board members, will try to review the facts, find out the truth, and clear my name.
Okay, thank you. Does any of the board members have any questions? Do I have a motion?
Hang on one sec, Mark.
We can't hear you, Peggy.
You're on mute, Peggy.
I move that we dismiss.
Second.
So we have a motion to dismiss plus a second. Is there any discussion?
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 1960, Melanie Asani. Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Dr. Pestillo.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Motion passes and case 1960 is dismissed.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Let's go back up to 4A now that it's after 9 o'clock and handle the informal hearing review, discussion of possible action. For a review of the informal hearing, case number 19-48, Braden Easley, physical therapist assistant.
And Dr. Cornwell, you have a script to read for the informal hearing.
I do. All right. Let's introduce the board members, staff, and council.
Let's make sure. Mr. Easley, are you present?
Yes.
Thank you. So you can keep your mic on now, okay?
Okay.
All right. So introduction of the board, Dr. King.
Dr. King, a professional member.
Ms. Hunter.
Peggy Hunter, professional member.
Dr. Bustillo.
Karen Bustillo, professional member.
Ms. Remick.
Mr. Remick, professional member.
Dr. Cornwell.
Dr. Cornwell, professional member.
Mr. Clinton.
Michael Clinton, public member.
Mr. Greer.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Mr. Harris.
Here.
Mr. Harris is the Assistant Attorney General. Ms. Cardoza.
Ron,
I
think Ms. Cardoza.
Thank you. Sorry, Veronica, go ahead.
That's okay. Veronica Cardoza, Administrative Services Officer.
Ms. Crowley.
Monica Crowley, Licensing Administrator.
Ms. Richardson.
Melinda Richardson, Board Investigator.
Ms. Chepius.
Judy Chepius, Customer Service.
And I'm Karen Donahue, Executive Director.
Okay. Just for our information, Mr. Easley, do you have counsel with you today?
I'm sorry, a what?
Do you have an attorney with you today?
No, sir.
Okay. We just need to know since we can't see everything.
Okay. Would I need one?
Not necessarily. Okay. No, you don't need one.
Okay.
You may have one, and I just and I needed to know whether or not you did have one.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
This interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules have occurred. If the board has a violation, finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following action. One, issue a decree of censure. Two, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. Three, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. Four, issue other disciplinary action. Five, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statute and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Right, so I need to swear everyone in. So anyone who's going to be speaking, please raise your right hand.
Ms. Richardson and Mr. Easley.
Okay. Do each of you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
Ms. Richardson?
I do.
Mr. Easley?
Okay.
I do.
Wait, we got to get the verbal mark. Mr. Easley?
I do.
Thank you. Proceed.
All right. Mindy, please give us a brief overview.
Sure. This is informal. Go ahead, Mindy. Please go ahead.
That's okay. This is informal hearing brief, case 1948. Upon review, the staff identified these possible statute violations that might apply. ARS 32-2044-5, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist assistant. ARS 32-2044-16, aiding or abetting a person who is not licensed or certified and who directly or indirectly performs activities requiring a license or certification. ARS 32-2044-17, failing to report to the board any direct knowledge of an unprofessional, incompetent, or illegal act that appears to be in violation of this chapter of board rule. And ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records. The supporting evidence for the allegations are listed in your informal hearing brief. This case is for your review.
Okay. Mr. Easley, if you'd like, you may make an opening statement, so to speak.
Okay. So my time working under Carl Marquist, or Momquist, however, was never really a pleasant experience. There's a lot of bumps in the roads. I decided I was in between jobs and I just needed to get into somewhere so I can continue to pay. I had moved out of my parents' house, so I just needed to continue working. Ended up getting through some of those bumps, and once I started moving clinics, he had a total of four at the time of my start and three when I left. That's when I started to begin to notice that at the other clinics that were further away from the main, our main headquarters in Yuma, that there were non-licensed therapists providing therapy, therapy documentation saying that they are licensed therapists, and sending it to Carl, having him sign off on it, and so on, and thereon and therefore. So the reason why I went to that clinic was because I was the only one in the headquarters clinic that I was able to at least get by a treatment in Spanish, which is when I started to figure out what was actually going on. And actually the people I was working with kind of throughout were providing services that they shouldn't have. And to my knowledge, I did not know their license or accreditations that they held. I just assumed that they were doing these type of evaluations or discharges and all this paperwork, that they were the licensed personnel, and that Carl would have been able to take that on his own to be able to get that taken care of as of the clinic manager and the regional manager.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm assuming that you'd be willing to answer some questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, does any board members have questions for Mr. Easley?
Mr. Easley, I do. Mr. Easley, I'm Peggy Hunter. I'm a physical therapist assistant. I want you to know that we have all met Mr. Memquist. And I think we all realize what a difficult situation that you were put in. It seemed like you tried to reach out to Mr. Malquist. Did you discuss your concerns with any other personnel in the clinic? For instance, there were other PTAs, et cetera.
Yes, there were other PTAs. The only time I reached out to Mr. Malquist is the day that I got the letter and the day that I found out that the licensed PT or the unlicensed PTs were actually unlicensed. I brought him into his office, or talked to him in his office about me going ahead and putting in my 2 weeks and ended up leaving. And that is the only time I've talked to him since my day of resignation.
Oh, I was under the impression that when you notice, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. When you noticed that there were supposedly PTs and they didn't have their license on display, that you questioned whether they were licensed or not to Mr. Malquist. Is that not correct?
I did ask, but during that time, I was like, are they licensed or not? But I was already just going to leave due to the previous issues that I've had with them. That just wasn't,
Yes, so I know you reached out. Did you ever discuss the problem with the other PT that was employed there? I believe his name is Josh.
No, I did not.
Okay. So I guess I'm wondering, you were concerned. Why didn't you ever think to reach out and call board staff?
Due to fear of retaliation, Carl was he may not seem, but he's kind of an aggressive.
No, he seems like that.
Yes, ma'am. So, and due to what I said in my opening statement was, I was waiting to come to the job or to the position that I'm at now at a different clinic. So I brought on two kids and everything. So I needed to get a paycheck and get by so I can make ends meet at home. My girlfriend has two kids that we all live together now, or even then at that time. So that also came into consideration. And once I noticed that this is actually a pretty big dilemma, it was from the beginning, if I'm getting contact from you guys. But I kind of put my family first and decided to continue looking. Luckily, I was able to find something and left immediately.
I understand that, but because you didn't contact the board,
mm-hmm.
now you're in trouble.
Yes, ma'am.
So I think it's unfortunate because I'm sure we've all gone through this, but as a PTA, I think I'm a little bit more sympathetic because it's a lot of pressure, especially when you're going to a PT that's not very supportive. But I think you would have found that the board, although Mr. Malmquist eventually did come before the board, he's the one that would have been suffering from this and not you.
Yeah.
So you should really learn from this experience. But I still think anything the board decides is going to improve you as a PTA.
I agree. And since that's the first job I've ever had to quit myself. And so that was also a learning curve. And then just understanding what, you know, this, it made me appreciate my license a whole heck of a lot more.
Your certificate.
Certificate, I'm sorry. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Easley, it's Dr. King. I have a couple questions for you. I see, you know, as I listened to your interview and read all of the investigative report, I certainly second what Ms. Hunter talked about being in a bit of a bind with a situation, and it's not unusual sometimes for our PTAs to feel concerned about talking to a superior about a situation. But I think for me, there's two particular specific issues in your case. One is certainly not reporting to the board when you recognized that there was a situation. But secondly, some of the comments that you made in your interview indicated that you delegated tasks to techs, and you supervised techs, and you performed therapy activities and interventions independently, often without a PT even on site. I'm not seeing a lot of documentation that you discussed the patient care with whoever your supervising PT was that day. So can you talk me through a little bit of your autonomy in this setting and your understanding of your limitations as a PTA in a clinic?
Yes. So again, it's going to go back to, I'm going to say a hostile workplace, but just fear. I'm just going to say that. Now with that, it didn't come just from Carl. It came from also the other superiors at each clinic, because I worked at 3 out of the 4. So with that, I went and did talk to Carl. I was like, I'm not allowed to be able to delegate to anybody. You know, I'm sure E-stem pads and stuff like that, I think we can be okay with. Other than that, I'm not able to do that. Then they're double booking me and I'm seeing 23 people a day. And so for me trying to give the best care that I possibly can give, I had to have the techs be able to ultrasound. And when I wasn't doing that, then I get pulled into an office and have a talking to saying, you need to utilize them. Like into a bind. So therefore I try to take matters into my own hands and try to do everything I could, change the treatment, out the treatment lengths, change all the approaches, do less manual, all this stuff. But then that's affecting the way that I want to treat my patients. So, and I try to take that up with Carl and Faith and the office personnel that have control of the scheduling, and there was still no change. So I just continued to sink.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Ms. King, I'm going to also add, most of the PTs at the clinics that I first began at, they were all travelers. So therefore, we're going through a lot of different people.
Yes, I definitely understand that. That's been our understanding of the clinic. Tell me a little bit about your practice as far as your documentation. It sounds like there might have been some gaps in your documentation and compared to what you billed for service. So, tell me a little bit about your practice.
So during that time, obviously. So with that, the flow sheet layout, it was something I've never really seen, and the way that I couldn't even follow it. Therefore, most of the exercises were just all over the place. So I tried to do my best to put which ones I did, and the ones in writing that I can't, I try to write them. And if not, then I put them into the note. But therefore, it goes back to the overbooking and trying to get my paperwork done. Again, people on me for getting my paperwork done, but also I'd step away from the computer and treat the patients rather than have a text take care of everything. I mean, just like to get my paperwork done. So there was definitely multiple cases to where I'm at home and I don't have the flow sheet, and I'm trying not to bill too much. I'm trying not to bill, but I'm going off of what I did. And then I don't go back and transfer if I forget something. And it was just, it's kind of a scatterbrained situation to where I'm trying to just get my work done, get charges in, and try just to get caught up. So with that, having all those influences or taking time away from my professionality, and just pretty much my time management overall.
Where are you working now? Where is your?
I'm at STI Physical Therapy, strength training.
What has been your biggest takeaway as a PT in this setting?
It has significantly changed the way that I got there.
Hold on one second.
I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. Can anybody see who is talking?
Unverified caller, it says.
I believe that's Mr. Harris's office.
Oh. Mr. Harris, put your mic on mute when people enter your office. I'm sorry for the interruption. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was asking Mr. Easley to just talk us through like what his lesson or his takeaway has been from his experience with Mr. Malmquist into where he is working at STI now.
It's really given me a much better foundation already with an already a solid foundation coming from Carrington College and having the pleasure of working with Miss King actually. So what it kind of gave me some more guts and just some more trust in myself. And just because I am a PTA doesn't mean I don't have a voice, and I can't, and we're not talking up the ladder, we're talking on an even surface. So now what I just try to carry myself with a lot more pride and with my knowledge and the way that I treat. And I let my either supervisors know or supervising PTs saying, hey, this is kind of how we need to go around how this stuff or how my treatment approaches, and be more open with the PTs. And luckily that they are more open too in this clinic. We're a lot younger group and we bounce ideas off of each other every day. So having that has also made the transfer a lot easier. The stress level is significantly less. But overall, it has changed. I take more time with my documentation. I take more time with my patients. Now, instead of just doing notes at work and then after work, I come home and I do my own thing. I don't do that. I come home and I have an hour and a half of my time right before bed or what have you, and get some documentation done and sit down with a copy of a flow sheet, take it back to work, and then have it shredded and dispose of it correctly. So with that, it just my time management skills are coming back. And I think it's just more trust on the other side that I know that my coworkers, they support me, they have my back. And I was kind of open about what was going on. As again, like you guys said, hiding anything, not hiding anything, but not explaining what current situation is can come back and bite you in the butt. And that's something that you don't want, because you work so hard to get to where you're at with your license and so on and so forth. Don't have something so simple be taken away from you, or have something so simple be able to take that away from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So okay, it's really made me grown as, you know, as a person, as a man, as a clinician.
If I may ask, what were with CEUs required for the PTA for this year, what were some of the additional education that you did you take for your license, your certification renewal?
So I went to a Pearl Institute manual therapy of the cervical spine, lumbar spine, sacroiliac joints, and I believe cervical mobilizations and things like that. I did that with while I was employed at Southwest Rehab under Larry Autry. And we also did a back school that he put on for the community. So I sat in on a few of those.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Braden, this is Dr. Cornwell. Can you walk me through it exactly? When did you graduate? How long have you been working before you went to work with Mr. Malmquist?
So graduation was 2017. I took my licensure exam, not the first test that was offered that year, but the following one after that. I can't remember the exact time. I believe it was around October, I believe. But after 2018, I think. But after that, I was going into this current situation. I was licensed and practicing for about a year.
You practiced a year somewhere before you went to Mr. Malmquist, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was at
okay.
Another clinic previously.
What kind of experience did you have with that very first job? My
first job was one of the most amazing. I worked for one of the greatest guys that I've ever met. Larry's been my foundation for my practices, other than schooling, that has shaped me into the therapist that I am. I still call him to this day. He knows about this situation. He's been one of the greatest mentors I've ever had.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
At the time you took the job with Mr. Malmquist, would you have looked at yourself and said, well, I'm kind of naive, or I'm just new, or how would you characterize going into that job?
I think on my part, it was very rushed given the situation that I was in at that time. If I look back at it now, I can say a couple other things, but I won't. I think this rush.
Okay.
I did not have a plan, and I didn't think of him being able to offer as much money as he did per hour. That also didn't. Now I look at it now, I'm like, okay, this is a reason why he's able to pay me this, which is an outrageous amount for a PT in Arizona and pretty much on the West Coast. So that didn't even raise my eyebrow, but I think that's because of the current situation. I was going to just go give my best and, you know, anticipating that it was going to be like Mr. Autry's clinic, clean cut, pristine, all the way down to the T. And I had the perception that all PTs are all clinic owners are relatively the same with making sure that their personnel are legitimate, and all that. So, and again,
very trusting.
Yes, exactly. And I guess naive too would be a good word to explain.
Okay.
That.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Easley, did you this is Peggy Hunter. Sorry. Did you discuss the situation with your mentor at the time?
Larry?
The gentleman that you spoke about?
From my previous job? No, I didn't. It was after I talked with Mrs. Richardson. And
okay.
Yes, it was a little while afterwards.
I know you talked to your mom, which...
Oh, absolutely.
She obviously trusts people as well. Tell her I respect that. Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Hunter.
Any other questions for Mr. Easley? Is everyone ready to go into general discussion?
You want to let Mr. Easley have a closing statement, Dr. Cornwell?
Yeah, I do. I just want to make sure that there's no board members out there who want to ask another question.
Oh, sorry. But
if there aren't any, then Mr. Easley, would you like to make a closing statement?
Sure. I just hope that this hiccup doesn't affect my livelihood. I enjoy every day going to work. My treatment methods work. I get along. I'm working at both clinics in town here at STI, and I want to continue to grow. And now with these, I want to continue, hopefully, maybe even going back to school. I've been considering that. So I just want to be able to have this opportunity to continue and learn from and just become an all-around better clinician.
Thank you. All right. So the board will move into public discussion, initial thoughts, or even motions.
This is Peggy. I think it's unfortunate this physical therapist assistant went through this, but I also think he would benefit from additional CEUs by the board. It just really, it's really just unfortunate that he went through this, but it was probably his own fault. But, and I'm sure he will learn from this in the future. I'd like to hear what everybody else thinks about this. Thank you.
Peggy, it's Kelly. That's exactly the same thoughts I was having. I appreciate a very stressful situation for Mr. Easley. You know, however, his certificate is his and his alone to protect and own. And just reading through some of the documentation pieces and some of the billing pieces, and then recognizing some of the supervision inadequacies, I think it would be very beneficial for him in his growth and development to review documentation and billing practices.
I think those are good ideas. I think that I would love for him to be able to tell others, other PTAs, either while they're in their education or in some type of state or district meeting, to share that you know, trust goes two ways, and that this really has come about by a physical therapist who decided to cut corners and to ask people to do things that were not legal. And a lot of people have suffered because of that. And I would love to have him stress the idea that even though if you're a PTA, you still have a standard that you have to go by. I don't sense that he's delinquent in what he knows is right. I sense that he found himself in a situation where he needed the job, he needed the money, and he tried his best to handle the situation. It didn't work out well, but I think he knew that he was oblivious to what was going on, and he was oblivious of what was right or wrong. So I'm not sure having a continuing education class, certainly in ethics, I'm not sure would benefit him nearly as much. The documentation, everybody can benefit from documentation.
Yeah. And I think in many of the documentation courses, well, at least the ones that are here locally, also review PTA supervision supervision rules around our state practice act and things like that, just to refresh and review as he continues to move forward and develop his career.
I also feel that a lot of PTAs just think PTs know the rules and laws of Arizona, which of course Mr. Easley has found out that's not correct. So PTAs are professionals and they should know those and not be hesitant to, if they're not getting any satisfaction with their supervising PT, to call board staff, because that would be the proper thing to do. I still think Mr. Easley would benefit from an ethics course, but I understand why Dr. Cornwall said that, because it seems like Mr. Easley was uncomfortable with the situation, but just really didn't know how to respond to it.
Yeah.
I would be in favor of some continuing education for documentation and supervision. And like Dr. Cornwall said, I'm not really in favor of ethics. I do feel like many times you get put in a situation and sometimes you just don't know what to do. And I'm really glad that the students are able to listen in on this particular case, because hopefully it will help them understand too that they have responsibilities in their clinicals and in their jobs.
So you still do not have a motion?
Yeah.
So do we approve factual allegations first, Dr. Donahue? Or
we make a motion? You have to make a motion first.
Okay.
If you want to do
this for Mr. To take a documentation course, I think 8 hours. I would like to have him have 3 chart reviews and a billing course. I don't know what the normal billing is, maybe 6 hours. And probation for 1 year with early termination.
And Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, this is Mark Harris. If it's okay, if we could hold off on that particular motion until the board considers and adopts findings of facts and conclusions of law, please.
Thanks, Mr. Harris. Dr. Karen, I have a quick question. It sounds as though the motion is more moving toward a disciplinary action versus a non-disciplinary action. We can require CEUs in a non-disciplinary action. Is that correct?
Yes, you can do a non-disciplinary order that requires CEU education only. What would not be included in this, Hunter, is the chart review could not happen.
Yeah, I
Mr. Easley, I'm going to have you put your mic on mute again, please. Thank you.
I don't think we have a second for Peggy, so I should probably wait for someone to second it.
You don't have any motion, so you have to determine first if you want a non-disciplinary motion. If you think that you want a disciplinary order, then you would start with findings of fact. If the findings of fact fail, then you're not going toward a disciplinary order. Or if you put the motion forward for non-disciplinary and that fails, then you can go to findings of facts. It just depends on what motion you want to put first.
I appreciate it. Thank you for that. So Peggy, if you're okay, I'd like to make a motion actually for non-disciplinary action that requires Mr. Easley to take a minimum of a 6-hour documentation course and billing, and that could be done online, billing would probably be 3 to 6 hours as well. I'm not sure how those go. Sometime in the next 6 months.
Second.
Clear second.
So we have a motion and we have a second. Any discussion? I would like to make a friendly amendment and add a non-disciplinary advisory letter.
Okay.
And that letter would request that you take opportunities to speak to PTA students or PTAs in whatever setting is appropriate about his situation and what he could have done better and red flags that he saw but didn't act on, things like that.
I think Dr. Cornwall, since we have students from Carrington, he has just done that.
Yeah, and Dr. Cornwall.
Or other programs in the state, so.
Mr. Harris, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. While I very, very much appreciate Dr. Cornwall, your comments and sentiments, I'm just not sure that would be the appropriate use of an advisory letter. Traditionally, an advisory letter is to notify the licensee or the certificate holder that while there may have been insufficient evidence in this particular case to merit discipline, the board is concerned about the behavior and wants to take the opportunity to educate them regarding the importance of complying with their statutes and rules.
Well, bummer.
I know. We used to be able to do that.
Is there another avenue that we can take?
Well, I kind of like what Ms. Hunter said, that just this exercise has been, educational, and the fact that there are students listening in. And I certainly think that your comments today and his participation in this process, hopefully with your encouragement, he'll go forward and pass on his experiences.
Okay. All right. Second best. All right.
Dr. Cornwell, Dr. King, can I get clarification on the specific number of hours of billing that you are requesting in your non-disciplinary order?
3.
Thank you. You're in discussion.
Does everyone have enough information that they feel they can vote on this motion?
I do.
Yep.
Then I'll call the question.
The motion before you is to issue a non-disciplinary order for complaint 1948, Brandon Easley, PTA, that includes 6 hours of documentation, 3 hours of coding and billing. All courses can be completed online, must be completed within 6 months, and with early termination available. But Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Ms. Remick? Ms. Remick? I'll come back. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
No.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Easley.
Mr. Easley, thank you very much for participating. And if you have questions, the board staff will help you. And I hope that you take the opportunity whenever available to share your experiences and help others to avoid similar situations.
Thank you, Mr. Easley.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your time.
It is 9:43. We're just going to pause a minute to change the recording. Hang on 1 second.